Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Take Two Radio. This is your host, Pam, and tonight, of course, I have my lovely co-host, Dawn. How are you, Dawn?
I'm great, Pam. Hey, everyone. Glad to have you here.
Are you excited?
Am I excited? Yes, I am. I am indeed excited.
Okay, then let's hear you do your cheer. Come on.
Yay! Well, and in the words of our guest tonight, I want to say happy dance, happy dance, happy dance.
Okay, well, after that, well, let's go ahead and welcome our guest. Tonight we have David Venable from QVC. How are you doing, David?
I'm doing very well, ladies. Thank you so much for having me this evening.
Oh, you're welcome. We're so happy to have you here with us tonight. And, of course, we have to thank Dawn for doing the footwork on this because she's the one that contacted everybody and got you on air.
Well, it's so exciting to be with you. I mean, this is what I like to call the Super Bowl for us foodies. I mean, this is Thanksgiving week. So we're all... I think we're all really keyed into and locked into the whole idea of cooking this week and getting excited about the big meal. So I think it's probably going to be a great night for everyone of a like mind to be together to talk about what they love, and that's great food and great cooking.
You know it.
Well, I think right out of the gate, I have to ask you, because this I think I would be remiss if I didn't. What are you having for dinner tonight?
What am I having for dinner tonight? You know, it's interesting because it's Thanksgiving week, and so I am actually having 8 people over for dinner on Thanksgiving Day, and so I have been spending all day today cleaning, so I'm really trying very hard not to mess up the kitchen tonight because I am working. I'm working, so my dinner will be a little simplistic tonight, probably salad and some leftovers, only because I've been grocery shopping for the last 2 weeks, and my kitchen is brimming with food, and my refrigerator door will barely close,
and I'm
just trying to keep the kitchen all in one piece before I begin cooking in earnest, somewhat tomorrow, and then certainly big time on Thursday.
And what was your address again?
Oh, exactly. My word. If I could have a big enough table, I would feed the whole neighborhood.
I bet. David, I want to tell you, I have been watching you on QVC for quite some time and love your In the Kitchen with David show. And just for the listeners who may be either new to our show tonight or new to you, and I can't imagine anyone not having loved and walked down QVC lane, but I would like to know, when did you actually take on the program host role in the Kitchen with David show?
Well, I've been with QVC 19 years, but I took over the kitchen program. It will be 4 years next month. And so 4 years ago next month, and before me, the show had a very, very long run on QVC and had been in the same time spot on Sundays at noon Eastern, and it had been a very, very popular show. And when the host that had the show before I did left the network, I was always his backup. So whenever he was on vacation or whenever the schedule called for him to travel, then I would do the In the Kitchen program. So I kind of, over time, became kind of the heir apparent. And and I guess we all kind of assumed at some point if this person moved on, then I would take over the show. And that's what happened about 4 years ago. And but what was really exciting when I took over the show is I had the opportunity. QVC management came to me and they said, you know, David, the show's been on the air for a long time. We want you to put the David handprint on this. So we really want you to take the show and make it your own. And that was very exciting to me because it was taking a dedicated audience that was tuning in every Sunday at noon and kind of taking the show and putting my own spin on it, because the host before me was much more of a chef. I am a home cook. I'm someone that has a great passion for food, and I have a wild curiosity in the kitchen, and I love to experiment with recipes and things. So it was really an exciting opportunity for me to kind of take on the show, but take it on from a different perspective and have an opportunity to really kind of learn right along with our viewers. And I think that's one of the reasons that the show has become, I think, really so so successful, and also our viewership has really grown, because I think folks find that we're learning together during this program. I don't think that they ever feel intimidated to tune in, or that they're being spoken to in a way that they're not comfortable with. I want them to always feel like that we're kind of all in this together. And and I like to say, I'll bring in the experts, I'll bring in the chefs, I'll bring in all the really famous culinary stars, and I'll ask the questions that you would ask if you were in the studio. And I think because we approach it that way, I think the what I call our view, I don't call them viewers, I call them foodies. Our foodies
right.
really kind of gravitate to what we do.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't, it doesn't seem like when you're watching it and watching you work, it doesn't seem like work, and it doesn't seem like a program, like a, you know, for QVC to sell their product. It's more like we're getting together and watching you just cook and recommending different things. It's a family kind of feeling. So that's great that you did it that way.
Well, it's exactly what I'd hoped when I took the show over, because I feel like everyone aspires to be better than they are in the kitchen. And I think we always tend to gravitate toward the things that we know and the things we've had success with. And so I always encourage our foodies to really elevate every recipe one ingredient at a time. Try to step outside the box a little bit. Do a little experimentation. Don't ever try a new recipe on Thanksgiving. That's too stressful. You know, but when you've got time and, you know, In mid-January, when it doesn't matter and it's a Tuesday night and you've got a little time to play in the kitchen, experiment then. But, you know, I feel like there's a cook inside all of us. We just have to let our love of good food lead the way.
Right, right.
Well,
now, Dawn,
David,
you have the cookbook. I'm waiting for it, so why don't we just...
David, this cookbook, I have it in my hand right now. It is a phenomenal, it's a piece of art, first of all. I want to tell you, the pictures are just, oh gosh, I'm just hungry when I look at it every time. But, you know, it's a labor of love. It's been in the making for a little while. And it finally came out, you know, a little bit earlier this year. And what the first thing I want to know is, how in the world did you arrive at the recipes? How did you decide which recipes were going to go in this book?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I had never put a cookbook together, and it was the summer of 2011 when a major publisher, Random House, I mean, good grief, Random House calls, and you sit up a little straighter because, oh,
right,
my goodness,
yeah.
You know, oh, my word, it's Random House calling. And they said, you know, David, we see you presenting and selling so many cookbooks during In the Kitchen with David. We have a segment called Cookbook Corner, and over the last two or three, 4 years, I mean, we've sold millions of cookbooks. And at a time when the book industry is really struggling to sell paper books because, you know, there are so many ways to download books now, and there are electronic versions of everything. So we were actually selling books with, you know, real covers and pages inside, and we were selling them in the millions. And so, you know, Random House called and said, my goodness, David, you're selling so many books. Have you thought about doing an In the Kitchen with David cookbook? And quite honestly, we had thought about it, but we really hadn't put those thoughts into action yet. We were still working, you know, very hard on the show and making sure that we were making it very watchable every week. And then we suddenly were presented with this incredible opportunity to put a book together and be published by Random House, my word. So it was really very exciting. But I knew right away when they called and they said, what kind of book would you like to write? And I said, oh my goodness, it's got to be comfort food. I mean, that's the kind of food I was raised on. I was born and raised in North Carolina. But what I've come to understand as I've traveled all around the country and I have hosted this show for so long and talked with so many foodies, comfort food isn't limited just to the South. I mean, sure, I grew up on lovely comfort food, lovely Southern comfort food. But, you know, no matter what region of the country you visit, they all have their version of what they call comfort food. And whether it's a shrimp po' boy in New Orleans, or it's great Texas barbecue, or it's smoked salmon in the Pacific Northwest, or New England baked beans, or incredible chowder on Cape Cod, it's all about those foods that you remember, the foods you come home to, the foods that you always hope your mom would make for your favorite dinner, the kind of thing you hoped when you came home from college for a weekend that would be the meal that would be on the table. So when I began to think in those terms, the book began to come together pretty organically, and it was a great opportunity for me to kind of pick and choose things that I loved, but also things that I knew were classic comfort dishes. I've also had the unique opportunity and privilege through QVC to travel the entire United States, and I like to say I've eaten my way through this great country of ours, and so it was a great chance to be inspired by some of my travels and some of the different restaurants I've eaten in and some of the different regional cuisines I've sampled. And I had that opportunity to kind of incorporate all that. But I will tell you, the book has 150 recipes in it, but our first go-around, we had many more than 150, and my editor at Random House said, David, this is great, but the book's got to pare it down a little bit. So that was always the challenge, to go through and decide which recipe would make the cut and which one would not.
Right.
And but, you know, one thing that I always I kept in mind from the very beginning of the project, I wanted to make sure that this book was home-cook friendly. And I wanted to make sure that this book was not intimidating, and I wanted to make sure that all the recipes were recipes that my foodies, that our home cooks would feel comfortable and feel successful with. In fact, when we were going through the testing process with the recipes, we actually gave the recipes to home cooks. We didn't give them to chefs. And we sent them home with home cooks and said, please make this recipe. And then after they made them, we got back together as a group, and I interviewed each person. And I said, asked them questions like, how did you feel as you were making the recipe? Did you at any point feel frustrated? Did you feel intimidated? Did you feel like you were losing your confidence? Did you feel like maybe the recipe would not turn out the way it should? And if we got that kind of feedback, we tweaked the recipe. We worked it. I have an incredible team at QVC, and I have a wonderful team of very talented prep chefs that work with me on the show every week. And we really collaborated because I am not ashamed to say that I will collaborate with those folks that are smarter than I am and that have more experience in the kitchen than I do, because I want to make sure that this book is truly one that people will look at and enjoy the recipes and feel successful with them. And I feel like we somehow hit the target.
You most certainly did. And I'm going to put you on the spot here, because I'm sure that every single recipe in this book you've either tried or, you know someone who has, but do you have a favorite? I mean, I know what your favorite dishes are by chance, you know, by far from watching the show. But do you have a particular favorite in the book?
You know, it would be hard to pick just one, because it's almost like having 150 children and deciding which one you love more. but if I had to point to the ones that David Venable defines as comfort food. I think back to my childhood and think of my grandma's chicken and dumplings, which are in the book, Mimi's chicken and dumplings. I think of macaroni and cheese, obviously. That is one that I always say I'm the big kid who never grew up. I'll never outgrow mac and cheese.
Nice.
And I absolutely love it. I could eat it three times a day. But I think, you know, things like the smothered pork chops with the onion gravy, and I think about beef short ribs and banana pudding cheesecake. I mean, there are so many yummy things in the book, it would be hard to choose just one. But if I think about the kinds of things that, you know, growing up that I really gravitated to, it was Sunday beef pot roast, it was macaroni and cheese, chicken and dumplings, really wonderful desserts, chocolate cake. I mean, all those kinds of things. And then, of course, I mean, you can't beat Southern Fried Chicken with a buttermilk brine. So all those kinds of things really, I think, kind of gravitate toward the kinds of cooking that I grew up on and the things that I really think of as my favorites.
It's just go ahead, Pam. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. I was reading A Day in the Life of David Venable, and I have to say I was tired just reading it. Where do you get your energy from?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I have always been a high-energy person, and I remember even in high school when I had to when I was working part-time in a drugstore, I would sometimes pull double shifts because I was trying to earn extra money to buy a car. And I remember my mom saying, son, I don't think that you can work a double shift and do these kinds of things. And I think it has a lot to do with want to, you know. I think it's one of those things. But I have also learned over the years that pacing myself is something that's really so so very important. And now that I'm in my 40s, it's one of those things that you know, you learn that getting to bed at a reasonable hour and getting enough sleep and doing all those things and eating right and exercising, all those crazy commercials we heard growing up that we'd never paid attention to when we were young because we thought we'd live forever and never have those issues.
Right.
I've come to understand that there's, you know, everything in moderation, including moderation. But having said all that, I think it's just a matter of pacing myself and really kind of gearing myself toward the task at hand. My show on Sunday is 3 hours nonstop. Sometimes it's four. And that's all single hosted. There are no breaks in there. So it really is kind of something that QVC conditions you to get used to over the years. I mean, I've been at this job 19 years, and we're taught to that it's a marathon, not a sprint. So I think it's equal parts of always being a higher energy person, being very focused in my personality and in my work ethic, and beyond all those things, really loving what I do. There's the old saying that says, when you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life.
Exactly.
And
that's right.
This past Sunday on the show, someone asked, David, what are you most thankful for on air? And I said, you know, I'm thankful for a job that never feels like work. And so I think that that was that's something that kind of keeps me going and keeps me energized. The nature of what we do at QVC is all live, so it's very energized at its core and by its definition. So you know, the viewers keep me energized, the phone calls keep me up, the guests are exciting, the show is always changing, it's always live, and it's always fresh.
Well, it's very indicative of watching you every Sunday and every Wednesday night, even, that, you know, just how much you love what you do. And you're so incredibly knowledgeable about not only products, but food in general. And you're just a wealth of knowledge for people that are out there, like you were talking about earlier, you know, that are really looking for answers on how to fix certain things or how to use certain products. And, you know, it's just become such a staple. I think a lot of people just look forward to watching your show on Sundays because they know they're going to gain something from it besides, you know, great QVC products, no doubt. Now, one thing I've always wondered is, what do you guys do with all the food? Because every Sunday I watch that show, I am going, oh, my, I wish I could just go through the TV right now and get
I
that
know, right?
That they're serving. Some of the, and, you know, and the reason why I always want to do that is because of the way that you taste food and you try food, and you know, and I think,
your
gosh,
face.
That food must be
yeah.
phenomenal, because I've never seen you make a bad face. If you've ever tasted anything that was not good, we never knew it.
Well, you're sweet to say that. Yeah, it's a common question we get about all the food, and there is a tremendous amount of food that passes through our prep kitchen and onto air, you know, onto the live set, and it's an extraordinary amount of food, and we're generating so much of it because, as you mentioned, the show airs twice a week, and that's a tremendous amount of food. The first thing I always say is that our crew eats incredibly well. None of them go to our QVC commissary on show night because they know they're going to eat very well backstage. So our crew eats incredibly well. For a time, we were working with some local food banks and trying to donate as much food as we could because clearly there was so much food there and much of it was cooked, and we wanted to be able to provide that to some local food banks. And after making donations over a period of a few weeks, they called and said, please stop, and we were surprised.
Oh my God.
And we were surprised by their reaction, and they said, you're incredibly generous, and we are trying to distribute as much of the food that, as you're sending us, but we don't have the storage capability to house all of these turkeys and hams and prime ribs and all the other things that look so lovely on the air, but they're all perishable. So it was one of those situations where they just didn't have the freezer or refrigerator space, and they weren't feeding folks 7 days a week. They were feeding folks a couple of days a week. So it turned into a situation where we overwhelmed them pretty quickly. And so, sadly, we weren't able to give them as much as we would have liked, and some of the food ends up being discarded simply because it is it's perishable, and we don't have the storage capability for it. They didn't have the storage capability for it, but we do feed as many people as can eat on those show nights. Some of the food has been sitting under studio lights for a few hours, and so it's really not fit to eat after a show is over. So we're very careful to only consume the things that are safe. We donate what we can, and those things that can't be donated then get discarded. But it is a tremendous amount of food, and we make every effort to try to recycle as much food as possible. If we know a particular product's going to be back on the air again and we need a beauty plate, we have huge walk-in refrigerators and freezers at QVC, so we try to preserve and store as much of the food and reuse it as much as we can.
Well, one thing I want to say is I'm so glad I'm not seeing plastic food just for TV.
I mean, they're eating
real food and giving us real reviews on it.
Well, I can tell you this. If you ever were backstage in our at In the Kitchen with David and in our prep kitchen, you would be amazed at the organized chaos that is going on. At any time, we have 8 prep chefs and sous chefs and kitchen assistants and studio folks that are running in every direction, and tables are being rolled in every direction, and food is gorgeous and being tweaked and made to look beautiful, and it's extraordinary. I find that when I'm back there prepping a show, I'm many times dodging tables and people and food and cookies and prime rib, and it's just crazy. But it's a wonderful orchestration that ends up on air and just looks incredible because we have a legion of people that are working backstage to make the show just looks so incredible.
And I love when I see the cameraman or your producer or somebody or another host sneaking in there to try to get at some of that food. It's got to be hard being behind the scene and seeing all of it and knowing you have to wait.
It is very true. It is very true.
And I must tell you, the addition of Mary to the show, to, you know, to be kind of the co-host at times, that she is so phenomenally, just so personable and just a great, great host on air. I love her personality and the way she interacts with the listeners, you know, on social media and how she keeps everyone updated. She's just a great, you know, addition.
Well, you're exactly right. Mary is my heart. I absolutely adore her. She is not only a coworker but a very, very close friend. And we have just – the moment I met Mary years ago, and I probably met her – when I say years ago, I make it sound like we've known each other since we were four. I probably met Mary about 3 years ago, and she became a part of the show a little over a year ago. But the day I met her, I knew we would be lifelong friends. We have very, very similar personalities. We have very similar senses of humor. We click. And I have often said, you know, she is the baby sister I never had. And so I just, I adore her. And when we had an opportunity, she's long been a member of our team, but about a year ago, we decided we wanted to really elevate our social media and have an opportunity to really engage the foodies in real time, live during the on-air show. So we went to Mary and said, what would you think about going on camera? She was horrified at the thought. She thought, oh my goodness, I'm a producer of this show. I'm not an on-camera person. David, that's your job. This is crazy. And I said, but you are so funny and wonderful and personable. And I have to tell you, in team meetings, she can tell a joke and we're all doubled over laughing for 20 minutes. I mean, she's just incredibly smart and funny and wonderful. So at any rate, we talked her into it, twisted her arm, and she has just taken to it like a duck to water. And it has just been so incredibly wonderful. And our foodies, our viewers, have embraced her, just as you mentioned. They love her. And I couldn't be more thrilled because she is just this wonderful burst of energy and sunshine that makes our show even more fun and watchable. And I am thankful every day she found her way to QVC.
Yeah, and she is – you would never know that she was horrified at one point. She has just come alive. She comes alive when she's on the air, and she just looks like she's been doing this forever. So I'm so glad you guys got her in front of the camera, you know, and she's out there assisting you every week because she's a lovely addition.
She is absolutely, and I will pass that along. She'll be thrilled to hear that.
Pam, did you?
Oh, yeah, I was wondering what I know that previous to QVC that used to be doing a public affairs talk show. How did you go from one to the other? How did you get connected?
Well, it's interesting. I was doing a public affairs talk show while working at a TV station. I was in Altoona, Pennsylvania. I was at WTAJ TV 10 in Altoona, PA. And was not only there to do that public affairs talk show, but I also anchored the midday news and was an anchor reporter and really went to college to study broadcast journalism and to do all those things. And it was interesting because when I was beginning to feel a little itchy in Altoona and wanted to do something more and kind of advance my career, I thought, well, where can I go? What can I do? And I began to thinking, well, David, what do you really love? What do you love about TV? And I said, well, I love when it's live. I love when it's unscripted. And I was always at my best in news when I was doing a live shot, when I was out, you know, without a teleprompter, without a script, mm-hmm. those kinds of things. And I felt at the most at home in those situations. And so I began to think, well, what other television opportunities exist that would allow me to do just that? And my mom had always been a longtime viewer of QVC. And I remember one day after doing the midday news in Altoona, I was having my lunch at my desk, and we had, to let you know, at that time, the city of Altoona was pretty small, and only had an afternoon paper. We didn't even have a morning paper. And so I was reading the afternoon paper, and there was a feature article on QVC and how quickly they were growing. And I was thinking to myself, well, you know what, this is that channel Mom always watches. I wonder what it takes to be a host there. So I called, and they said, well, you know, you'll need to send a tape and a headshot. Well, at that point, I was so broke, I couldn't afford to pay attention.
Aww.
And so it was one of those things where I had to wait two pay periods just to save up some extra money to get some photos taken. Uh-huh. So I got a tape together and got some photos taken and sent them, and they called almost immediately and said, we'd love for you to come audition. I thought, okay, well, big mouth, now you've gone and applied, and now you've got to go and show up and do what they've asked you to do. So I had to show up with an item of my choosing so that I could do an audition, and I was to appear about 30 minutes before my audition, and they would have another item of their choosing that I would have a chance to review and then present. And so I brought a little collectible Santa Claus figurine with me, and I knew a lot about the person that had made it and sculpted it and that kind of thing. So I did all my homework there. And when I got there, the piece that they wanted me to sell was a piece of jewelry. I knew nothing about jewelry.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And I was immediately, I was like, okay, you're in over your head. You have gone above your station. You're in trouble. And so, but they had a piece of paper there, and they said, answer these questions about this item. What does it look like? What does it feel like? What might you wear it with? And to whom would you give it as a gift? And then suddenly I realized, well, that's not so hard. I can certainly describe this, and I can certainly talk about jewelry in general and talk about to whom you give it as a gift. That seemed okay with me. So I did my item, and I felt very comfortable about that. And then I did their item, and then all the heads in the room started nodding at me. And then I thought, well, I must have done something right. And then the man who would become my boss stood up, and he said, well, David, it's clear you've been on TV before, and this was a great job. Let me give you something you haven't prepped. And he walked across the room and picked up an old beat-up travel alarm clock. And he walked back across the room, and he popped it in front of me, and he said, think about that for 30 seconds and sell that to us. And I thought, oh, boy.
Wow.
Now we're back to the beginning thinking, oh, you faked your way through it this far, but I don't know how you're going to be able to get through this. But then I began to think, what is a travel alarm clock? Why do you have it? Why do you want it? And why is it important? So I remember just kind of collecting my thoughts and looking into the camera and said, how many times have you been traveling and you were worried that either the front desk wouldn't call you for your wake-up call or the old beat-up travel alarm or the old beat-up clock radio in your hotel room wouldn't go off on time? And then suddenly it was a straight problem solution, and it worked. So, you know, getting back to your original question, I kind of deviated from the question.
Okay.
How do you come from that to this? What I began to realize is that what I was doing in news was not so uncommon or different from what I would do at QVC. In news, I would go out and cover a news story. I'd be peppered with lots and lots of information. It was my job to pick out the most important parts and retell it in a conversational way. The same thing is true at QVC. They give me a product. The vendor will give me lots and lots of information. I'll pick out the most important parts and retell it in a conversational way. So then suddenly it didn't seem so different. Then suddenly it didn't seem so completely opposite. And what I began to understand more than even any of those things, it was just connecting with the viewer on a very personal level, letting them get to know me and really kind of meeting them where they live and putting products in their life. And then that ended up being very important.
Of which I have bought many of the products that you have sold.
I know,
on
right?
And Wednesdays. And I'll share this story. I bought the KitchenAid big sand mixer a year ago, and the first time I used it, I was like, how did I survive baking beforehand without this mixer? So, you have successfully done your job, and you've done it very well because I have many products in my house. My kids. Well, when I have the show on Sundays, they're like, Mom, what are you buying? So, you know, they know I'm in trouble if I'm watching you on Sundays because you're going to sell me something. But you do a great job, Dave. And so it's just, you know, it's always great to see you on Sundays and Wednesdays. And just your personality has come through in so many ways. And you just keep us all entertained as well as informed. And it's just a wonderful thing that you do. We have one caller on hold. Do you want to take the call before we have to wrap up?
That would be great.
Okay, just a moment, please. All right, area code 413. You're on with David Venable.
That
would be great.
Hello.
Hello.
Caller.
Yes, you're on with David Venable. Go ahead, please. Oh. I'm sorry, David. They apparently were calling in to listen and didn't realize they had been put on hold or been put on live air. So one thing I want to ask you before we do wrap up is what are some good tips that you have for, you know, Thanksgiving's in 2 days? And I know this time of year everybody starts getting really, you know, their minds on it, they're thinking about it, and it can be a pretty stressful time. How do you get through the day, especially if you're cooking a meal for your family or for a group of friends, to where it's not so cumbersome and not so stressful, and it can be enjoyable for the cook.
Well, exactly. You know, there are several things that I think you can do. The first thing is plan your work and work your plan. Never start thinking about what you're making for Thanksgiving the day before. Now, I realize we're getting pretty close to the day before, so I'll encourage everybody, hopefully you've already kind of thought through what your menu looks like.
Right.
You know, there's this ongoing debate, do you love the turkey most or do you love the sides? And I think, you know, if you ask 8 people, you're going to get 8 answers. But It's one of those things where, you know, really kind of have some extra sides, because I think on Thanksgiving you can give yourself permission to do a little bit more than just your vegetable, your starch, and your protein, you know, that kind of thing. So I like doing lots of different sides. Do the ones that the family loves. Do the traditional ones. That's all great. But don't be afraid to take shortcuts when and where you can and if you need to, because I think that that's going to make life a lot easier as you get this whole process going. Try to do as much as you can ahead of time. Start planning your menu a few days in advance. Don't grocery shop the day before if you can help it, because the grocery stores will be mobbed, and beyond that, you may run the risk of them running out of some key ingredients that you need. So it's really about planning your work in advance, planning your menu, doing as much prep work in advance that you can. You know, I am making apple crisp instead of apple pie this year because it's just faster, it's easier. Mm-hmm. But I'll make my streusel topping ahead of time and freeze it. So that way, the only thing I have to do on Thanksgiving is slice my apples, or peel them, slice them, and then get them into the baking dish, and then get my streusel topping out of the freezer, crumble it on top, and get it in the oven. You know, it's that kind of thing. So It's all about doing the little things that you can ahead of time so that on game day, as I like to call it, you're not quite so stressed. Also, press your family members into service, even the little ones. Get them setting the table. Get them taking care of that. If you're hosting family, make sure everybody brings something. There is nothing more unfair in my mind than having one person be responsible for the entire meal, because by the time you sit down at the dinner table, if you're the cook, you're exhausted.
And you can't even eat.
Enjoy it, because at that point you're worried about everybody else. Everybody's hungry. This is a group effort. Thanksgiving, you know, think back to the first one. Everybody contributed. So it's one of those things where get everybody involved, get everybody helping, and then when it's all said and done, send as many leftovers home with all the folks that come over to dinner. That way your refrigerator's not overwhelmed, and the next day you're not feeling like, good grief, how am I going to get through this mountain of food?
Yeah, exactly.
I want to tell our listeners to go ahead and not only just watch David when he's on QVC, but also buy his book from QVC.com. It's called In the Kitchen with David, Comfort Foods That Take You Home Cookbook, and I'm sure there's going to be a ton of recipes in there that maybe some of them you haven't ever eaten before, and some of them you have, but go ahead and buy it and try them. I'm sure your family and friends will love you for it.
Well, and let
David,
me say also,
I want to thank you. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say also that the book is not only available at QVC, but it's also in bookstores nationwide and wherever bookstores are sold online. So if you are able to shop for the book in your local area, local bookstores, or online, you can find it there in addition to QVC. So we wanted to make it available to everybody, whether they're a QVC customer or not.
Oh, wonderful. And I was going to say over 245,000 of them sold, so I don't think it's a small number of people, and it has to be a great book to sell that many.
Well, it has been a true blessing, and I am humbled every day when I hear that number, because it just lets me know that there are a lot of folks out there just like me who are home cooks who are looking for some new and exciting recipes that are easy to make, and I hope that you'll find that when you read the book.
Oh, most definitely. Yes, definitely. I asked for it for Christmas, so I'm waiting for mine, and I know I'll get it because I usually get what I ask for. So
that's awesome. Lucky you. That's great.
Well, thank you for taking the time to spend with us tonight and talking about your life and QVC and food and everything. Now everybody in the chat room wants to run and go eat because they're all hungry.
Well, good deal. Let me wish you and all your listeners a very, very happy holiday season, not just Thanksgiving, but right through to the holidays, and spend the time with the people that you love, because that is what's most important.
Exactly. Yes. Thank you, and
thank
we wish the same to you.
Thank you so much, ladies.
All right. Have a good night.
Be well. Bye-bye.
You too. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. I can't wait to get the book because, you know, everybody loves comfort food, like he said. And
yes.
I always love to try new recipes. I do it to my family all the time. Not so much anymore like I used to do, like every single weekend, but I still try to do it because, you know, kids grow up and they're on their way, and who are you going to cook for? But
that's right.
I love trying new recipes because you get tired of eating the same stuff every time. And even if it's something that you do eat, you can find so many different ways to cook it by adding a different spice or something to it.
Well, David has covered all the bases in the book because he just has covered, I mean, he has salads, he has, you know, meat, he has sides, he has desserts. I mean, every possible category you can imagine he has in the book. And as a matter of fact, for this year, for Thanksgiving, I've got a couple different family dinners to go to, and I am going to make what we call sweet potato casserole here in the South. David has a sweet potato casserole that is, he calls it the sweet potato pineapple casserole. And
oh.
And it's just adding pineapple, crushed pineapple to the recipe, basically the same ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And the topping is like a pecan, brown sugar,
flour
butter topping. So it's the crust, it forms like a crust, and then, you know, you have your sweet potato casserole, and it's just absolutely phenomenal. And so I'm going to sneak that in on my family this year and see how they like it.
Think they're going to love it. Just by your description alone, I know I'd eat it.
Well, and another thing he's got, he actually has a recipe for holiday ham in here.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing about it is he also has a recipe for a honey mustard glaze that you can brush on the ham. And I don't know if you saw, but several weeks ago when they started kind of easing into the holiday season with their holiday food offerings and so forth, I purchased a Smithfield spiral sliced no bone in ham. It's already cooked.
Mm-hmm.
And I got them last week, and they were already frozen. And so I'm actually going to prepare one of those. And basically, you thaw it out, you put it in the oven for a little bit, just kind of warm it up if you prefer that. But I'm going to try this glaze on the ham this year to see what it's like. It from the ingredients, it just looks absolutely wonderful.
And
so,
you sent me my plane ticket, right?
You know, I'm putting it in the mail tomorrow. I'll be overnighting it to you so you can get in really early.
At least FedEx me some leftovers or something.
Yeah, I'm going to FedEx you some leftovers. So, yeah, I mean, he really, when he says there's comfort food in the book, there is definitely comfort food in the book. I mean, he has everything from southern fried okra. Now, if you grew up in the South, you know what that is. It's just okra that's fried. It's like fried squash and I just love the book because there's so many recipes in here that, you know, I ate as I was growing up and have eaten in my adult life. And there are so many pictures. When you get the book, Pam, I'm telling you, you will sit and drool for hours because just about every page has a picture of the recipe, just about every other page at least. It's
mm-hmm.
a color picture of what the recipe is supposed to look like. It's just, it makes you hungry. It really does.
Oh, I know. I know.
Yeah,
I've got, you know, how many other cookbooks as well, and you can never have enough of them as far as I'm concerned.
I'm so excited. My daughter is in the process of moving this week. As a matter of fact, today has been her big moving day, and she's moving to a bigger place, a bigger kitchen. And so I actually got her a copy of this for Christmas, and I can't wait because she's really, you know, tried her hand at cooking now. And you know, for her birthday, I got her one of those big KitchenAid mixers, and she's just been cooking up a storm. So, and she's all too happy. As a matter of fact, we're going to her house for Thanksgiving this week, so it's going to be neat, you know, in her new place, you know, and to be able to, for once, she's going to do all the cooking, the vast majority.
That'll be nice.
I'm bringing the main parts. I'm bringing the turkey and the ham and a few other little small side dishes, but she's doing the bulk of it. But it's so neat, you know, it's like, finally. Someone else is doing this besides me. So it's going to be kind of nice to just go and eat, you know. But yeah, anyone that has not purchased this cookbook, but you are a cooker and you love to cook, this is a great cookbook. I highly recommend it. It's beautiful. It's very well done. And if you've never seen David Venable on Sundays and Wednesdays on QVC with his show In the Kitchen with David, I really encourage you to check it out. He will be on tomorrow night. His show comes on at 9 p.m. Eastern, and on Sundays it comes on at 12 noon. And as he said, on Sunday his show is either about 3 or 4 hours. So it's always entertaining, always informative. I have yet to say I've turned it on and never learned something. So
That's so true. And it's so hard not to pick up the phone to buy something every single time. I mean, I have tons and tons of QVC stuff in my house, and I'm the same way. When you said your daughter was asking you, what are you buying now, every time I get a box, my husband says, what did you buy now?
Yes. Well, and, you know, and really, in truth, I don't, you know, I'm not an avid buy all year from QVC, but this time of year, starting in about, like, you know, mid-September through the first year, I am watching QVC, you know, because not only that, but I love, you know, their studio decorations. They're just so nostalgic. They have so many different types of holiday-oriented, you know, product shows that they do that are just so neat to watch, you know. And in a lot of ways, to me, it almost seems like that it's almost funner to watch that than it is a lot of the stuff that's on TV nowadays. So, but yeah, this time of year when I start ordering and I order stuff from there, you know, the boxes start coming. My kids are going, okay, which one is mine? I'm like, I'm not telling. None of them are yours, you know. And my youngest daughter, she always asks, okay, which one's mine? She just did that to me the other day because I had three boxes sitting on my front porch. It was like, she's like, Mom, really? I'm like, well, it is the holiday season. So, you know, they give me a hard time. But I, you know, honestly, I can tell you that I have never purchased anything from QVC that I can say was a dud or bad quality. You know, and here in North Carolina, in the town where I live, they opened up a what's called a Tanger Outlet Mall, which is pretty big in the southeast. And it's an outdoor strip mall, but it's huge. I mean, it has all these name brand stores at discounted prices. And QVC has a store in this mall. And so I love just going in there. I bet I've been in that store more than I've been in any other store at the Tanger Outlet Mall.
open. I know they have one here too, but it's probably a good 45 minutes away, if not a little bit longer, up north. And so to me, it's what I love too about QVC is that you can sit at home in your PJs, watch them, pick up the phone, dial the number, and have something delivered to your door. And open it up and be just as happy to see it as you did when you were ordering it. And can't wait to use it. You know, it's just, I'll tell you,
well,
I don't know who thought up this on-air buying stuff, but I want to thank them.
I know, really. And I must tell you, the last several years that I have, you know, I have done any Christmas shopping at all or I've done any kind of online shopping, the vast majority of stuff that I buy at Christmas time comes from QVC just because
their
products are such good quality. And a lot of times when I open packages, I see that products, they blow me away. I mean, you know, you see something on air and they really present it well and it looks so nice, otherwise you wouldn't buy it. But then when you get it, it you know, what you see on air sometimes just doesn't do it justice. When you get it in hand, it's like, wow. So it's, you know, I love what they offer. They offer something for everyone, you know, and you just can't go wrong. So we're just giving them huge plugs. but you know, I'm a tried and true testimonial. I can tell you from purchasing from them for years and years that they are, it's just, you know, it's just a great place to shop. And I'm like you. I love ordering. It comes to the door. I don't have to go fight crowds on Black Friday. And if I want to even have the whole Black Friday feel, I can turn on QVC because they do their own little version of Black Friday.
Right.
And you can order, you know, and it's just kind of really a neat concept, but yet I didn't have to get stressed. You know, while they're out fighting over whatever, I've already ordered. I can be wrapping presents on Black Friday, you know, and I have to deal with that. Now, let me ask you, while we're speaking of that, because, you know, that's coming up this week too, Do you ever get out in Black Friday? I mean, have you done that before?
Well, I can't say never, but I mean, in so many years that I can't even count, I do not go out because I've been shopping from QVC for over 20 years. So that'll tell you something right there.
Yeah.
You know, the crowds, you're in there with your winter coats inside the malls and you're sweating and the people are all over the place and you're trying to find something and then they're out of it or, you know, the last one left is damaged or something, you know. But, I mean, they do have a lot of great deals. But QVC has great deals too.
Yeah, they do. And
they have
and
a lot
love
of specials. I love the easy pays. I love that the free shipping. And as you said, there's something for everyone.
Yeah, no doubt. My kids and I, a couple years ago, they asked me, "Mom, can we go out on Black Friday?" And I thought, they have no idea what they're in for, you know, because I had done it when I was much younger a couple times, but I never made a habit of it. It wasn't like that was the highlight of my year, was to go shopping on Black Friday.
Right.
But, they wanted to see what it was all about. And we didn't spend a dime, but I wanted them to see firsthand how crazy people act the day after they spend all day being thankful for what they have. I mean, it was like, you know, and it was real eye-opening for them. And so now it's kind of become a fun little tradition. We go out. When they're going to kick it off, we go out for about an hour, we go grab a coffee, and then we come home and go to bed while everyone's out there duking it out and fighting or doing whatever they do. But, you know, it's just kind of become a fun, let's go watch the people and how they behave moment for us. And I guess it's fun for us because we're not trying to be in line buying that ticket item for the season, you know, and fighting people. And, we can just kind of watch everybody else.
And finding a parking spot, too, is another thing.
Yeah. So, that is kind of, as a matter of fact, my youngest daughter asked me just the other day, she said, "Mom, are we going out this year?" And I'm like, the very thought of it just is not appealing to me at all. It's like, you know, I want to just be asleep by that time. And I don't know about where you live, but here they have been advertising that some of the major retailers are going to open like, for example, Walmart here. And I imagine this is probably nationwide because it's Walmart, but they are going to open at 8 p.m. on Thanksgiving night.
Right.
Hello?
Yeah.
Can we not let Thanksgiving, you know, be done and concluded before you send everybody out into the stores to act stupid and crazy?
I highly agree.
And some of the, like, Target, I think, is going to open at 10. I may be wrong on that. I'm not certain on the time. But, I mean, it's earlier. It used to be 4 a.m. was the big wake-up call.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
But I will tell you, one of the funniest things that I love to see this year, and I haven't seen it as of yet, is the Target commercials with the blonde lady, the blonde-haired lady, and she acts like she's preparing for this big marathon. And she just gets real psyched, and you can just see it in her eyes, like she's ready. Those are the funniest commercials to me. And they're for Target. Now, I haven't seen any this year, so I don't know. But it used to be you thought 4 a.m. was super early to go out on Black Friday. And then last year, I think they moved it up to 3 a.m. in certain places. And the Tanger Outlet Mall near me was opened at midnight. For what reason, I don't know. But anyway, so it's pretty interesting to see how they, you know, they move things up a little bit earlier and a little bit earlier. And it kind of takes away the whole concept of Black Friday. It's really not technically Black Friday if you start Black Friday on Thanksgiving Thursday.
Right.
It's not even Friday. So I don't know how they can still call it Black Friday if they're trying to open the doors. And, you know, but the other thing, too, that I saw this year is that the retailers like Walmart and Target and, you know, Best Buy and some of the major retailers, they're going to offer, now tell me this is not crazy, they're going to offer the same deal online, okay? People can go online at the same time, 10 p.m., 11 p.m., whatever time the stores are set to open, you know, to go there.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna do the same deal online. They're going to, you know, put all the same specials online at the same time. People can sit in at home and order what they want when they go on sale in the store from the comfort of their home and never have to fight the crowd. So
right.
If you know that you can go online and get it for the same price, and they're probably going to have more in stock online than they would in the store anyway, why would anybody go out and fight the crowd? Please tell me why.
I have no idea. Honestly, I have no idea.
I mean, I don't know of too many people outside of my mother in this day and time who does not have an internet connection and some form of card payment, whether it be debit card, credit card, whatever, you know, where they can just purchase it online. They're going to buy it anyway. It's like, why don't you just order it online? I think
some people actually
do.
I mean, although you and I and millions of others don't enjoy going out in the rat race, there are people that do enjoy doing that and also like to touch, you know, whatever they're going to purchase and look at it and open the box and make sure things are okay with it. One of the great things about QVC is if by some chance you get something that's damaged, you can send it back and they'll send you another one right away. I mean, they're great with that. I mean,
yes,
because during the holidays, when you get something from UPS or through the mail from them, you know, you do get an item once in a while that has been kicked around. But it's not QVC's fault. It's from, you know, being transferred through truck to truck and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you just give them a call. The people on there are in customer service are always friendly and knowledgeable about their products and very happy to help you out. So they'll send you another one.
Well, and another thing, this time of year, especially what they do is they extend their return policy until January 31st of the new year. So that, you know, you can go through Christmas with it. If you decide, you know, whoever you're giving the gift to doesn't like it, they can return it. And I love the way that they have set that up, because how many, you know, retailers, if you go to a store and buy something, are they going to give you that kind of a generous return policy?
And a lot of times, you know, it's in-store credit, you know.
Yeah, it's gotten very strict. And QVC is one of the about the only places that I know of around that if you order something and you send it back, they don't give you like, okay, we're going to give you QVC credit. They will refund the money back to your card. And I think that, you know, that's good, because a lot of times people just want their money back. They don't want a credit. But a lot, you know, the stores, I think that's one thing that the major retailers have, you know, that's kind of a marketing strategy where they're still getting their money and able to keep their money. You know. And not lose anything in the process, even though the consumer may return the gift and or the product. So, you know, it's kind of, and I understand in one regard that's to protect their sales through the holidays, and there are, you know, to keep anyone from, you know, say returning something on a whim for the sake of getting the cash. You know, I understand that, but you know, it's really neat what QVC does, and they. Whoever had the concept years ago certainly knew more than we do. Because they were really onto something, you know, in terms of being very forward thinking as to the way, you know, society and times would change to where people would really welcome the idea of not having to fight a crowd and just be able to order from the comfort of their own home. So that's a wonderful thing. I love it.
And you know what else? With people like me that have a hard time sleeping, you know, how many times in the middle of the night I'll turn the TV on and order something. So it doesn't even matter what time it is, you know.
I have to admit that there are some nights, you know, as you know, I'm in school. So there are some nights where I finish schoolwork and I'm just dead tired, but I can't fall asleep kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of tired. And I'll whip out my iPad and I'll go to QVC and, you know, watch a little bit of the, especially this time of year, because I'm always thinking, oh, I wonder what kind of show they got on right now. So, you know, it's hard for me to know what most of them's schedules are, like the show schedule, outside of David's, because I, you know, watch him pretty regularly. But yeah, I mean, you never know this time of year. They may have a show with Christmas decorations on it, or, you know, it could be any number of things, but it's always nice.
If you walk through my house, I mean, I have my Christmas tree from them. I have a KitchenAid as well. I have a Keurig coffee machine. I have jewelry. I have clothes. I have shoes. I have I have blankets. I have sheets. I have everything. Jewelry. You name it. I got it.
I have bought 4 Keurigs from them. My daughter is actually, my oldest daughter, the one that's moving. She, and she's not listening because she's moving tonight, so I don't have any risk of her finding out what she's getting, but she's getting a Keurig for Christmas. And because every time she comes to my house, and you probably can attest to this too, she always fixes her a cup of coffee. And she's a coffee drinker, but it's just funny. She'll just say, Mom, what kind of coffee you got? And, you know, she always sets up the Keurig and she's ready to roll. And I love the Keurig because, you know, I love the whole one cup of coffee concept.
I do, too, because I can't tell you how many times I've made a pot of coffee. And I'm not the type that drinks it all day and all night. I wake up in the morning, I have to have a couple cups to get me going. And so then the rest of it goes to waste. And with this, I just make my 2 cups and I'm done. And I haven't wasted anything. And it's fresh.
That's right, it is. And, you know, Keurig has just this year come out with another model called the View, I think is what it's called. And so I'm kind of excited because that's such a new product for them that now the K-Cups are going to really drop in price, and because they're going to start making room on the shelves for the Beauty Cups, which are they're not pods and they're not packets. I think they're still a cup of sorts, but they're a little different. They look different, and the machine is different, so I don't really know yet. I haven't read enough about it or seen it enough to know how it works exactly. Probably the same concept, but I'm excited that they've introduced a new model into their line because I'm just saying, oh, I've already seen the prices on K-Cups come down a little bit as it is.
Yeah.
So they should come down even more now with this introduction of this new model. So that's a win-win, yay.
And we could talk about QVC all night, but we are at the top of the hour, so
we want
to go ahead and wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. I wish you many blessings and hope that you have a lot of good food and sit back, vegetate, watch your sports, do whatever you want to do. But make sure you help Mom or whoever else did all the cooking clean up afterwards, please, before you hit that couch. A lot of women, including myself, as soon as you're done cooking and everybody's been fed, you want to get that stuff in the dishwasher. So just, pick up the plates and scrape them off and put them in the dishwasher for her.
Most definitely. And before we go, Pam, what are you most thankful for?
My family, of course. Thankful that my son's back, from deployment and out of the Marines now, although he has another 4 years of being a reservist. And another thing, too, I wanted to bring up before we go, there's a lot of people out there on the East Coast that are still suffering from the effects of Sandy. So before you sit down to eat your Thanksgiving meal, text Red Cross to 90999 to make a $10 donation or call 1-800-HELP-NOW. And donate what you can. Try to find out if there's something in the area, if you're on the East Coast and you aren't affected, where you can help out and help another family have a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah, agreed. Well, Pam, I hope that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family, and I'm going to enjoy it. I'm done with work for the week. I'm looking forward to having a few days off to have downtime and to enjoy my family and my grandsons. This is his first Thanksgiving, so first holiday season. So it's going to be a special time for all of us. So I'll be thinking about you when I'm making my sweet potato pineapple casserole in my plate.
Thanks
for
a
my
lot.
Ham, okay?
I appreciate that. And we'll be off for the next few days, too. Our next show will be on Saturday with Ralph J. Cole, Jr., so make sure you join us for that, and he will be on at 5 p.m. Eastern time, which is 2 p.m. Pacific time.
Yeah.
There I go, having to count again.
Okay, when you don't live on Pacific time, it's hard to kind of calculate that sometimes, I think, at least I have.
Right.
All
right, good night, everybody. God bless. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon again.
Good night, and God bless everyone. Thank you for being here. We appreciate your support. Happy Thanksgiving.
Good night, Dawn.
Good night, Pam.